Episode 92 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
I'm Sean.
This is the Reggie White episode.
I was just going to say that. It is the Reggie White episode.
Oh, you guys are friends.
Rest in peace, sleep apnea.
Did he have it?
That's what killed him.
What?
Yeah, he died in his sleep because he had sleep apnea.
I thought he had like a heart attack.
No. He had like, he was a major snorer and he stopped breathing. I mean, my guess is he had a heart attack due to sleep apnea, but yeah, it was sleep apnea. Guys.
Wow.
It's the silent killer that kills very loudly. Sleep apnea. Get it checked out.
Dude, I snore so bad.
This is
a
very special cracking the spine. Do you really?
Yeah.
I snore sometimes.
I snore pretty often now. Because I think from the smoking and this whole thing. Look at my whole face.
Are you smoking cigarettes again?
No. From when I did. But look at my nose. Look at this thing. It's broke as fuck right now.
Right now?
It's been broken like several times. Can you...
Ew, he just snapped his nose like a knuckle. Oh, he did that fake thing where he put his fingernails under his teeth. God damn it.
I'm a wizard!
I used to fuck with people with that joke myself. Yeah. Oh, he did it again. Oh, he snapped his nose. Here, I'm going to pull my thumb off, you guys.
Really entertaining.
They can't see that one. He's jerking. He's making like a jerk-off motion.
I pull my thumb
Sean,
off.
That's a different trick.
What?
Yeah. We all know that one.
My thumb's bigger than... Like, I mean,
then you're dead. See you next week, everybody.
Facebook,
Twitter. What are we going to talk about in this segment?
Well, this is the segment where we talk about what we're reading, and
we already did that.
Well, the thing is, we're recording back-to-back episodes again this week
for your pleasure
to make sure that we have enough content to get us through. I don't know, 6 months.
June.
No, don't say that.
No. July.
It's been tough, but things are sort of leveling out.
Yay!
I hope, schedule wise, so we'll be able to do more episodes.
Yay!
But so I'm still reading Sleeping Beauties by Stephen King.
But we had talked about potentially in this segment instead of talking about what we're reading.
Yeah.
Instead, talking about maybe like what we hope to read.
Oh yeah, I hope
my
to
future
switch it up a little bit.
I hope to read Ernest Cline's obituary tomorrow.
Oh! Damn.
I would like to read the second part of it where it's just a bunch of fart sounds written on a page.
Run over by an R2-D2 model at the premiere of Ready Player One while Steven Spielberg was drinking a Coca-Cola.
In lieu of flowers, please send any checks and donations to the DJ R2-D2 Fund. Helping young R2-D2s become DJs.
I wouldn't mind reading the next Neal Stephenson novel, because I'm always a big fan of the Neal Stephenson.
What's that going to be? Does anyone know?
Is there one coming out?
No, but I'll read it when it does. He just published his last book recently, where he co-authored.
With Stephen King.
Oh, you mean specific things?
Yeah, I am fascinated by how you can misinterpret something so widely, but...
You mean directly answer your direct question?
It's very literal.
Yes, that is what I mean. But yeah, we were kind of thinking like a to-be-read pile.
I mean, I wouldn't mind reading...
Like, what's up next for you?
I kind of like to read Fire and Fury, the Donald Trump book.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah, I would love to read it, but I just, Jesus Christ.
Actually, a friend of mine, because I used to work for the publisher of that particular book, and someone who I know who is still at that company sent me a PDF of it.
Yeah.
And I would have read it, except I don't really like reading electronically.
Yeah, it's harder
to do. I have it in my iBooks, and then I open it and I'm like, nah.
How has Alec Baldwin not been asked to do the audiobook of that as Donald Trump?
Fair question, because it's not written as Donald Trump.
Yeah, but...
He's also promoting his own Donald Trump book.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Yeah, just...
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
I probably would jump off of the roof.
I also have been thinking that I would like to read... There is Walter Isaacson, who wrote the biographies for Steve Jobs, and he wrote a biography of Einstein, and he wrote a biography.
I might have that. I have an Einstein biography in my house. Okay. Is it huge?
Yes.
It's probably that.
Well, he wrote
one. I stole it from my ex-girlfriend. Suck it.
Any of the 50 Jessies.
It's like a Jesse number 42.
All right. I really want to read. He wrote a biography of Leonardo da Vinci, and I listened to an hour-long interview with him where he talked about like the research that he did for it.
Yeah.
And like his thing is that he's fascinated by genius.
Right.
So I'm sure that eventually at some point my phone will be ringing.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Is your ringer on? Maybe it's on vibrate. No,
it's on silent.
Right, a genius now would know.
That's the hallmark of a genius.
Is it my phone on vibrate? That's my Leonardo da Vinci.
No, the point is that Leonardo da Vinci wouldn't care if his phone was on vibrate or not because he'd be too busy worried about, like, what does the inside of a bird's nostril look like?
He could write both hands opposite ways.
Yes, he could.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So those are my three. Four. Oh, four. The obituary, the unnamed Neal Stephenson, and then the two books that actually exist. Zane, what are you looking forward to reading that are apparently have to be real?
God. Sucked all the fun out of it, man.
Welcome to
Still
Sean.
Got it.
Welcome to Sean. This is how he does stuff.
I would really, really like to read the Speak graphic novel that just came out by Laurie Moss Anderson.
I can get you a copy of that.
I would really like that.
Published
because
by my former publisher.
I love that book.
Okay.
And I would love to reread it, especially in graphic novel form. I'm really interested to see it.
I also know about many, many books and have so many opinions.
Sure, I was done with my
list. I was going to say.
I'll let Zane finish, though.
Way to inject all the fun back into it, Josh.
I'm done. I only had one that was like a cop-out. Because Sean told me today that he had a book that he is bringing me, but it's a mystery and I don't know what it is. So I'm
maybe
looking forward to it.
I can't believe he didn't bring it. What a piece of butt.
I only told you that after I got here. And by the way, I opened that by saying, ah, shit, I forgot to bring you the book I wanted to bring you.
I know, and I still don't know what it is because it's a mystery book and I want to find out what it is and potentially read it.
And I didn't talk about it in the first show because I didn't want to give it away. Because I've read it. It's good. You'll like it, Zane.
Is it baby teeth?
Maybe.
It's baby teeth.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I figured it out.
Damn. Do you still have your baby teeth? Not in your mouth, but like around.
Nah, dude, my mom had 7 kids.
I think my mom
she probably
still
fed them
my
to
baby
us.
Teeth.
I bet you I can find where mine are.
Anyway, now I'm finished. Josh?
I want to read
Devil in the White City.
Devil in the White City. I want to read.
He doesn't even get it.
A hamburger.
What?
A hot dog. You'll get nothing and like it.
Those are foods.
I don't know. I don't know. You guys have to tell me what to read. That's how this works.
Yeah, we've been doing that for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Don't read them.
I don't always not read them. Most of the time I do read them.
I can't remember. Did you read?
Like 50-50.
Did you read Reamed by Neal Stephenson?
I read most of Reamed.
Did.
Okay.
Me.
All right.
Reamed me.
That's how I know that he read it.
Reamed me.
It only means he read the cover.
It's enough.
Did you read, have you read any Simon Winchester?
Maybe.
Like The Map That Created the World?
No.
Or Krakatoa?
Is that a real book about the real Krakatoa?
Yeah.
Did you know that they could hear that around the world like 3 times?
Yes.
It's fucking crazy. I already knew that, so I don't need to read it.
Krakatoan?
What?
Krakatoomy.
Is Krakatoan what they wrote on that tree in Virginia?
Yeah.
Where they...
Is that where the treasure is hidden? The treasure of the Civil War guy?
I'll never tell.
Dan should be into that stuff.
I'll never tell.
Yeah. What did you geocaching for Civil War shit now?
Oh, remember when we used to go geocaching?
That was a great week.
We tried to find the one in Doylestown at that park with the glass shit.
We did find it.
No, we never found it.
No, we found one in the basketball park, but we never found the one. I know you're talking about Star Park.
Yeah, Star Park.
Oh,
so we yoinked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one outside of my house. Like,
anyway.
Wow, way to suck all the fun out of geocaching again, Zane.
It's okay.
Okay. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Should I tell another good joke?
No, I think we can take a break.
All right, because when we come back, I actually did some research this week for the topic, guys. And I'm going to blindside Josh and Zane about what we're talking about, but I think it's going to spur some interesting conversation.
Oh, I want to read the novelization of Blindside.
Welcome back to episode 92 of Cracking the Spine. I remain Sean.
I'm Zane.
I might be someone else. My cells are always dividing.
Oh, no.
Your cells are always dividing.
Yep.
What does that have to do with your
personality?
It could
be a different person. If my brain cells are changing, who knows?
If you completely rebuild a ship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it still Josh?
No. Same ship.
Same Josh. Or ship.
No, it's still you. Because, you know, you don't define yourself by yourself. You define yourself by the experience other people experience with you. Anyway.
I don't know if that's true, but okay.
It is. I just said it.
Mm.
So, I'm older than you.
Yeah, by like a lot.
Everyone's salty tonight.
Welcome to the Salty Cast. We're eating salt.
I am thirsty. So what I wanted to talk about this week was something that has been, like settling into me in a very real way over the past like month and a half, 2 months, and that is the reality of the retail environment for book sales.
Okay.
And I can talk about it from my own personal standpoint, which would be anecdotal and not fair. Interest of full disclosure, I was laid off from a bookstore in the beginning of January because it was an independently owned bookstore because the sales for the store were down precipitously from 2016 to 2017. More importantly, the holiday season of 2017 was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that it was a bad place to be in. Like, I knew the bookstore, after I got there, I realized that the bookstore was bad. And, like, that specific store was bad. And we had some work to do to turn it around, but I didn't realize how tenuous it was. So what I found out, or what the world has been finding out this week, is Barnes & Noble is also in a lot of trouble.
Sure.
So I don't know if you – have you guys – do you guys know anything about this?
I know that they sell books.
Okay.
I know a little teeny tiny bit. So just headlines.
Barnes & Noble has laid off a lot of people.
Sure.
Over the past 2 weeks.
Okay.
And most of the people that they are laying off are rank-and-file booksellers – with tenure and managers. Basically people who make the most money in their stores.
Right.
And what they're being left with is people who don't have a lot of experience who work for cheap.
Yeah, that should go well.
Well, what's happening is their current management, like their corporate management structure, just thinks that you can keep the stores running on a skeleton crew. So let's use that as a jumping off point. I have some things.
Kind of like Circuit City or whatever. Didn't they do that for like 2 seconds? And then they were like, wait a minute, this is terrible.
That model has been held up like as a comparison to what's been going on.
Like, I'm a genius.
You get rid of the people who know electronics and keep on the people who work for cheap. Yeah. And eventually you lose your business.
Yeah, because people, you know, I went into Best Buy and I was asking for like a adapter for headphone jacks, and the person working there had no fucking clue what I was talking about. And I was like, look, I know this is like a Best Buy and you're like a child, but like, can anyone help me?
Right.
Instead, it's like, no, bye. And like,
no, that's
a super turnoff.
They can't be bothered because they don't know.
Right.
I don't know, Zane, like, do you think that, like, it's difficult for me to look at Barnes & Noble objectively, because for so long I've been independently minded, but I know that there are a lot of people out there who think of Barnes & Noble as, like,
their local bookstore.
Because they don't have any choices. Like, right. There's places where Barnes & Noble is your local bookstore.
Yeah.
So, like, having not shopped there, I mean, have you ever shopped in a Barnes & Noble?
I've done it.
Yeah. But it would have been 10 years ago. I mean, I honestly don't.
When Zane was 4 years old.
Remember the last time I stepped into one. I want to say when I was in like high school or college, maybe.
What did you buy?
Well, clearly I remember the whole the transaction Babysitter's Club. Really well.
15.
I remember what I always felt about, to me, what makes a good bookstore is, do they have stuff that I want to read on the shelves?
Right.
And not that my tastes are particularly off-center, because I really don't think that they are. But I do read, you know, fantasy, science fiction.
High fantasy, mostly.
High fantasy only.
Callback.
And horror. And so a lot of times, sometimes I have this experience where I go into bookstores and they don't even have, like, a discernible fiction section.
Yeah.
Which is an immediate turnoff to me. It's, like, my least favorite thing about a bookstore. But I remember always feeling when I would go into Barnes & Noble that, like, there seemed to be a lot of books on the floor, but they never had what I wanted or, like, anything that even looked interesting.
Okay.
So I don't ever remember, like, I don't remember having a bad experience in a Barnes & Noble for, like, a very specific reason, but always just going in being like, I don't know, if there's something else to do, maybe I'll buy a book, and then it's like, God, there's nothing in here that I want to buy.
Yeah.
It's not that I've never stepped foot in a Barnes & Noble, because, I have.
For coffee, probably, at the shitty Starbucks.
But, I mean, also, like, I lived in Center City, Philadelphia, and where I was living, the closest bookstore was on the University of Pennsylvania campus, and it was Barnes & Noble. And I've been to author events where it's a big-name author. I mean, Neal Stephenson and Chuck Palahniuk did author events, and they were in Barnes & Noble, I think, because at that time, that's where the audience were being drawn.
Right.
Yeah. And my memory was, like, it felt very, like, homey and inviting, and it always felt like...
It's quiet in there. It's
well
nice.
Well-staffed, and I always felt, like, kind of like using, like, it felt like everything was a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yes.
Like, there was no... It's like... I compare it to I don't like shopping. I don't know if this translates to the country, because I don't know if it's a nationwide chain, but it reminds me of Wegmans.
Yeah,
the Wegmans grocery store chain.
It's very regional, by the way.
Is it regional?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know, whatever the comparison is, maybe like grocery shopping at Walmart. Like, there's a lot of aisles, and it seems like there's a lot of choice, but there's not a lot of selection.
Yes, yeah.
Like, they have they have a lot of product, but not a lot of selection.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Barnes & Noble, my memory was that their price points were great. Like, you know, they're not selling list price or cover price. Everything's 30, 40% off. Which, again, was the appeal.
Huh.
This goes back a few years.
This is before the great crash.
So, so one of the things that I read in the recent, like, run-up to these layoffs and in the wake of the layoffs is that customers who have been longtime supporters of Barnes & Noble will go in on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because new books come out on Tuesdays. And,
like DVDs.
And want to buy the new – I follow a lot of authors on Twitter and want to buy the new – whoever the author is, and not find the book on the shelf, and then go back to the author and be like, hey, I went to Barnes & Noble, they didn't have your book. And the author's like, that's bullshit. My publisher told me that Barnes & Noble ordered the book in these numbers. And having worked on the publisher side of it, I know that that's true. Like, you know, the salespeople that sell to Barnes & Noble are very big on making sure that the numbers on first week are big. And what people, like, on the boots on the ground in Barnes & Noble stores are reporting is that now what's happening is, A, unpacking and shelving books is a skill set. Like being able to get books out of their boxes, into your inventory system, and out on the shelf in a timely fashion.
Yeah, you need managers.
You need people who know how to do that.
Right.
The other thing is, you need people, like, I'm reading that there are Barnes & Noble stores, and a lot of them, that are running the business with three or four people per shift. And have you ever been in a Barnes & Noble?
They're huge.
Yeah.
Three or four
people. That seems
people
impossible. That's like a person per floor.
That's a cash register.
Right.
That's a cafe.
Right.
That's a floor runner.
Right.
And then someone unpack books. And they said, one of the people I was reading a quote from, I was trying to find it before the show, I could like quote it directly, but I'm going to do it by memory, paraphrasing, said, you know, in my store right now, there are 200 boxes of books in our back room unpacked.
So they're ordering the books and they're getting the books in, and they literally just lack the manpower to put them on the floor.
That's exactly right. They are now in a position where their corporate management has fucked them so much by not having anyone in the stores to get them out. And so what I found, I was looking for some numbers. So for the 9-week holiday season for Barnes & Noble leading up to the 30th of December for this year, they were down 6.4%, which is big.
Mm.
They were down 4.5% for their online sales. They're spending – this number came out yesterday. They're spending $11 million in severance pay to people that they're letting go in the hopes of saving $40 million a year.
So I'm sorry. Is this all happening? I'm a little sketchy on the timeline. Is this happening because they weren't putting people on the floor, so their sales went down, or is that
like, no, their sales went down, so now they're cutting people.
So then that's why stuff isn't getting out.
Yes.
This is not okay.
But also, they didn't hire going into the holiday season.
Right.
So the people that were there for the holiday season,
in essence, like, manufactured a crash.
Correct.
Because weird. It's almost like this is what happens when you let companies just do whatever the fuck they want.
So how about the former CEO of Barnes & Noble, a guy named Ron Boire, B-O-I-R-E, who had been – he worked for Sony for 17 years.
Ron Boring.
And then after that, moved to the chief merchandising officer – for Sears and Kmart.
Sure.
Which you
so
know how
far,
well,
we're getting a real good glimpse of this.
You know how well Sears and Kmart do.
This guy's just burning shit down every which way.
Right? So they hired him to be the CEO of Barnes & Noble.
Did he used
do
to work for Pan Am?
To purposely drown companies?
He worked there.
Like,
it might be.
So he worked there.
Seriously.
He worked there for 11 months.
Yeah.
All right? In
That's
11 months.
Year.
He was fired after 11 months in a job he had absolutely no qualifications for.
Right.
Like, corporate business is fine, but, like, publishing is publishing.
This guy's like a professional patsy.
He's like the – what's that? The Cooler, right?
The Cooler, yeah.
The Alec Baldwin movie?
Yeah, yeah.
The
Cooler.
So he was at Barnes & Noble for 11 months. When they let him go, his severance
package –
$4.8 million.
Golden parachute,
fuck,
man.
After
that,
11
dude.
Months. And yeah. And the other thing I was trying to find earlier is that there were the two or three CEOs prior to him also got that kind of severance package after they were
right.
laid off.
Of course they did.
So now they've let go 1,100 people who are going to get a total of $11 million.
Right.
Now that's, you know, rank and file. So, like, what we're looking at is You go into Barnes & Noble at your local bookstore. You want to get the new whatever book. It's not on the floor because they don't they can't
Neil
afford
Stevenson.
Any,
I hear it's good.
Yes. They can't afford to put anyone on the floor to sell it to you.
Right.
So what do you do?
It's failure by design.
You go buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Of course you do. It's they don't care. Like, right? Like, not to turn this into, like, a political conversation.
You mean Barnes & Noble?
Barnes & Noble doesn't care.
Well, clearly the CEO doesn't care.
Because they're going to get their money.
Right.
And they're like, well, I'll just go work for Pan Am next or whatever.
And if we have to sell the company, we'll sell the shelves and that'll be part of my golden parachute.
Yeah, I'll just – we'll just cannibalize the thing and then nobody will have Barnes & Noble. And it's ridiculous. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's vulture capitalism.
It's crazy.
Like, and especially in publishing, where the margins of profit are so slim to begin with, like, to get rid of the people who know what they're doing, to get rid of the people who can actually talk to your customers, who can actually service a sale.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems especially sinful for all of this to be going on in a time when everything else that you hear about the book industry is that, like, there is a renewed interest, not just in reading, but in physical books that,
right,
like,
yeah,
people are coming back around to it in the same way that people are getting back into, like, buying vinyl and cassette tapes and stuff like that. Like, people, it turns out, really do enjoy having physical copies of things that they consume. And, more and more people are interested in reading. It's easier to discover books that you enjoy and, you know, related books that you might enjoy and stuff. Like, it's so easy to get your hands on really, really excellent reading. And so for all of this to be going on at what could be the height of the book industry.
Well, that's exactly it. And it reminds me, and I read, the other stat I read was the ABA, the American Booksellers Association, which is like the national lobbying chain for indies.
Yeah.
Opened 71 new bookstores last year.
Well, they're excited about this, is what I was going to say.
Except that,
well,
here's the problem.
They're tanking the whole industry.
That's the thing.
Right.
The thing is, without Barnes & Noble ordering the kind of quantities that they order...
Yeah, you're right.
There's not enough profit motive for the publishers to
The publishers go, well, it doesn't matter because books are, the numbers are down.
So it's what's happening like with what happens with
music.
Yes.
It's movies.
It's music.
It's exactly that. Everyone's like, well, there just is no music industry.
It's fucking
anymore.
Amazon. Right. No one's buying music anymore, except more people than ever want to buy music.
Yeah.
It's the Amazon economy. It's just, you know, we all go, well, I can save money if I buy it on Amazon. And yeah, you can on like a very micro level. But when you think about the macro effects of Amazon on the economy, like realistically.
Amazon has tricked people. I have a big problem. Not a big problem with Amazon because I order stuff from Amazon, but it's tricked
people. Of course, we all do.
It's tricked people into thinking that it's instant gratification, and it's not. Instant gratification is getting in your fucking car and driving and getting the thing you want that day, not at Amazon. It takes a day for Amazon Prime or whatever, fine. But that's still a day that you don't have the thing. Like, you should go, if you can, go fucking get it. Like, isn't that the most American thing? Like, I want it now.
Like, not only that, but, like, there are very few jobs that Amazon can't do better than you do it. Like, right. I mean, that's, like, that at the end of the day, or, I'm sorry, not better, cheaper.
Right.
There are very few services and products that are offered that
Amazon also fucks up a lot, and they, like, send you the wrong shit, or someone steals your fucking shit from your front porch or whatever the fuck. I mean, they sent. I ordered a bunch of shit one time, and they sent it to, like, the wrong address, and the guy was just nice enough to, like, bring it to me. Like, he didn't have to do that. It was, like, a computer part. He could have been like, I don't know what this is. I'll sell it, you know?
Like, I never thought I'd find myself in a position where I was going to be going to bat for Barnes & Noble. And it's not about Barnes & Noble. It's not about that corporate-specific entity.
No,
it's about the idea that there needs to be a place in...
There has to be physical places.
There needs to be a place, exactly, for physical books to be sold that people will continue to go into and buy them.
You would think, like, I think this is kind of your point, Zane, like you were saying earlier. You would think that with books like that, there would have to be that, because it's a book, and people like touching them, and I like to touch books. I don't like to read on a fucking Kindle or a computer. I couldn't read a shit on a computer. Like, I need to go see the book. And I'm the asshole who, like, is like... And people that, you know, I know and that I am friends with are like, you're crazy. Like, Amazon Prime's, like, way better than going to get it. And it's like, no, I want it, though. Like, if I want something and I know I can get it somewhere, I'll go get it. It's not that... We don't live in fucking Utah in the middle of the desert. Like, I can go somewhere and get a book.
Okay. I think what bothers me is that it is like the music industry and like anything else where we created these business models that rely on these huge companies pulling the numbers that they do and propping the industry up. And then when they create this business model that is not sustainable, or, you know, some fucking asshole increase profits and they, you know, cut employee wages and they cut employees and stuff like that, and then customer satisfaction goes down. And then you have something like this where, like, they physically can't move the books that they have in the store, you know, and then they go out of business. Now you've created the scenario where, because you're pulling those numbers from the publishers and stuff, the entire industry is set up to suffer for that.
Yeah.
Because we've created a business model around, like, that is so dependent on these big businesses, and ultimately it's everyone else involved who gets fucked. And it's, you know, it's not just the consumer and the employees, but it's It's the writer and the publisher. It's the writer
and the editors and the graphic designers and the
marketing people. Everyone else involved in the industry. And, you know, and this is exactly what happened to music. And it's what we said for years. It was like, you know, listenership is up, but music sales are down. How is that possible? Yeah. Well, because for many, many years, the only place that you could buy music was through these giant corporations.
Well, that's the main
and
problem.
They fucking sucked, and the prices were too high, and, you know, and it was awful, and no one wanted to buy music there anymore. And so they came down, and then it was, well, sales are down, but they weren't.
Well, that's the thing with the, you know, and with the corporations just, is they will not accept anything less than what they had. It's like, yeah, but like sometimes like that's what you have to do.
It's like a manufactured crisis.
You
it's
have
like
to have 20% growth every year regardless.
They're telling you.
Impossible.
They're telling you that the numbers are down and that readership is down. So therefore people don't like reading anymore.
Right. Yep.
And that's what pisses me off because I think more people than ever like to read and enjoy reading stories and finding books and enjoying books.
Yeah, nobody will ever, there will always be people.
It's so much easier to find things that you like now and you have so much access. It is, it's just like music. And it just pisses me off that now basically we're going to be told that this is happening because dumb Americans don't want to read anymore.
So I don't, I mean, I don't want to.
And it'll be the reader's fault.
I certainly don't want to get up on my high fantasy horse, but.
What about like a low fantasy horse?
It doesn't speak in umlauts.
Fucking buy books. Go out of your house and buy a book.
Yeah. Leave your house.
Do what I do. Every time you go into a bookstore, spend way too much money and then come home and cry about it and then read your book.
If you can go to an indie bookstore, go to an indie bookstore. If you can't go to an indie bookstore,
go to
Barnes & Noble. If you can't go to Barnes & Noble, God, I don't know. Go to Sam's Club. Go to fucking, like,
go to Target. They have books at Target. Like, go somewhere and get the book.
Save Amazon for your fucking shampoo. You know, you can't buy shampoo from mom and pop. I don't know. Maybe there's a shampoo cast somewhere right now that's saying.
I'm starting one next week. It's called.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Poo on You. The Shampoo and Conditioner Podcast.
Fast forward to 75,000 listeners and, yeah.
We don't have that many listeners.
Not yet.
I'm not doing my job. Uh-oh. I'll take my $4.5 million severance pay, please.
Anyway, thanks, Josh and Zane, for blindly going into a show.
No, I
decided to rant and pitch percentages like people care.
This
about
shit pisses me off because, like, I hate like.
I guarantee you, listeners.
I knew our audience would get
there
into
will be
it because
engagement on this.
It's
this is an interesting conversation.
Because the thing is, like, it's not good if you're a reader. What's going on at Barnes & Noble right now is a harbinger of really bad things to come unless something happens. Yeah. Like, this is Sam Goody going out of business. This is, I mean, CD Now. Like, I don't know how to relate
the
it
wall.
To...
FYE.
Thank you,
which was the wall.
Borders. I mean, Borders was a music movie and bookstore.
Yeah.
And Borders, everybody thought, would be around forever.
And it wasn't.
And that fell. So then everybody went, well, without Borders, Barnes & Noble will be around forever. Nope, Barnes & Noble is fucking falling.
Yeah.
And, you know, not every town can support an independent bookstore. And unfortunately, publishers can't support only independent bookstores and Amazon. It just doesn't work. It's not a sustainable model. So
it feels like, it feels like the inertia of America is slowing, like, because of what's happening.
Like, gee, where can we look to figure out where that might have
wonder why
started
that's occurring. But it'll be really bad if it stops. It'll be a shit show.
It's like the thing is, it feels like my friend Daniel warned me about some stormy times ahead. You know?
Daniel, my brother.
Old Stormy Daniel told me that things might get a little...
Man, that dude has super fake titties. Those are bolt-ons, man.
That's a little on the tits. I mean, nose.
I'm doing like bolting my tits on.
Yeah, we got that. Oh,
they don't know. They can only hear my cool sound effects.
They've seen enough of your visual and continue. They know what you're doing.
Is Michael Winslow on this show?
That's the sound effect guy from Police Academy, you guys.
Do another one.
It's a French siren. That was really
I thought that was going to be a Ray Romano.
Hey, it's me, Ray Romano. Read my book about my terrible life. My wife's a bitch.
Hey, I hate having kids. Why do I have these kids?
I wish I would just die.
I wish this pizza had cyanide on it.
Oh, my brother's an idiot.
I make $16 million an episode.
Oh, Barnes & Noble.
I could be the Barnes & Noble CEO.
Should have gone into publishing.
Hey, is that Stormy Daniels? Pull them tits on.
Hi, welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode number 92. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I am Sean.
We are robots now.
We have been turned into robots that don't need books any longer.
Robots don't laugh. Stop laughing.
I mean, human noises.
So, yeah, hopefully, I don't know, we just changed the world.
Yeah, we're doing it.
We probably did.
Yeah, for sure we did. I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah. If the end result of this is we drove up the stock price of Barnes & Noble, I'm going to feel really conflicted about that whole thing.
I don't think that
good
we
good news is that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not a thing.
Look, Barnes & Noble can suck my dick, but...
Go on.
But in order for it to suck his dick, it needs to stay in business.
Yeah.
Without Barnes & Noble, how will it suck his dick?
Can't suck a dick without your doors open, at least a little bit.
That's what my grandmother always said.
Yeah, it's an old axiom.
It comes from the old country.
Yeah, there's a lot more umlauts in it, though. It's a little high fantasy for you,
Old Country Buffet.
Yo, did you ever eat an Old Country Buffet?
Yo, like it was my job in high school.
Did you die after you did it? Because it's fucking terrible.
No, when you're in high school, dude, you can eat that shit all day.
Yeah, when you're in high school, you can fucking eat a bunch of shit. I remember going over like to my girlfriend's house.
We didn't give Zane a chance to answer. Zane, how much did you love Old Country Buffet when you were in high school?
I've never been to an Old Country Buffet.
You'll fart your
road trip. Next road trip podcast.
Where's there one? There's one in Ocean City, Maryland.
There's
I know that.
Easton Buffet on 611.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds like not the same thing.
Yeah, where's the Old Country Buffet?
Yeah.
Alexa, where is there an Old Country Buffet nearby?
Based on your zip code settings, here are a few popular ones. Okay. Old Country Buffet on Commerce Boulevard. Old Country Buffet on DeKalb Pike.
DeKalb
Pike. Old Country Buffet on Roosevelt Boulevard.
Oh, Jesus
God.
Christ.
Old Country Buffet on Whitehall Avenue. Check out the Alexa app for contact info.
We're not going to any of those.
Yo, the one at DeKalb Pike is the one I used to go to. It's still there. No shit, that's the one in Arkansas that we used to rock.
There's a picture of you on the wall. Without Sean Curran, we would have gone the way of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, that's right. Amazon can't replace an Old Country Buffet.
Can't get shitty buffet food sent to you.
Not shitty until you finish it.
Dude, it's shitty the next couple hours later.
You're going to scare Zane away from it.
Dude, you're going to, if you eat it, you'll die. You'll fart your brains out.
I feel pretty confident that we're not going to go to an Old Country Buffet.
We're going.
Challenge accepted.
Okay. We're going to the one on DeKalb Pike.
I didn't get the notice that we were wearing all black tonight, you guys. Black hoodies and shit, too.
Yeah, well, it's...
never met Josh and I before?
Yeah, we wear black. We're goth kids. Deal with it.
Guys, the thing is, they're all wearing black. And I'm wearing gray.
I didn't wear my black nail polish today, though.
Me either. Sean?
Did you ever do that? Did you ever wear the nail polish?
I did. I was doing nail polish for a while.
I did it, too.
And like, every once in a while, I wear it just on my pinky.
The pinky, yeah. I used to wear the necklaces. Like, I had a ton of, like... Just whatever.
Like Mr. T? Were you Mr. T? Are you Mr. T?
Yes. I have to fly like Mr. T. They have to knock me unconscious.
Is that a thing?
In A-Team, he couldn't fly on airplanes.
Oh, that's right.
I ain't going on no plane, Hannibal.
All right.
That was Mr. T!
That's
what he said! That's a quote from the show!
Hey, man. I ain't getting on no airplane, and that's it.
So
anyway, Facebook, Twitter, email us.
Reach out. We miss you.
Yeah.
It might not seem like we do, but we do. I do.
Josh
super do.
Does not endorse all of us.
That's what he says on the show.
Talk more next week, guys.
We love you.
Bye.